Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
If I'm a KFNS salesman and you hear Andy Van Slyke, I think the first thing I do is I get on the phone right now and just start calling a couple of corporations right now and say, look, how would you like to sponsor the most entertaining hour of baseball conversation in the market? Yeah, Andy Van Slyke is going to be with us every Tuesday from 10 to 11. And that's what our sales staff should be doing, correct?
Right. What do you want, other than Martin and Frank, of course, but a guy who played in the biggest games, all-star, Gold Glove winner, what, five times? I like how he pretended not to know his spring average. Remember, he had just said guys always know their numbers.
545,
his last spring training. And a guy who played but also has opinions.
Yeah, and La Russa really blew it, by the way, because they could have used him so badly. And he had a little bit of some type of nagging injury, and La Russa said, well, you got to go to Memphis. And Van Slyke at that time is 37 with five gold gloves and three all. He says, no, I'll be fine in a day or so. No, you got to go to Memphis. And then so that's when
he
had enough.
And he just said the hell with it.
Yeah. So I blame that on you, Mr. La Russa.
Yeah, well, there's been a few known feuds over the years, right? How about a guy who didn't necessarily get along with Tony and Andy, but then is like best buddies with Leland, who's one of Tony's best friends? It's weird. There's like these weird lists out there, including Bob Lackey, longtime executive at Anheuser-Busch, creative genius, the Frogs, and all those commercials, is really good friends with La Russa and Kevin Slayton. Imagine, there's not too many people who fall into these camps.
Wow.
And I would say Van Slyke's camp, tight with Leland. I mean, I don't know that he and Tony don't get along anymore, but not necessarily best of friends, certainly back in the day. But I agree with Frank's premise, which is Andy equals good radio, because he's always – he'll argue with you.
Yeah.
He'll argue with me. I mean, if we had Rammer here, these guys would be an 18-hour show. What do you mean argue? Define argue.
There'd be no breaks.
And how about the fact his dad was his high school principal?
Wow.
And normally when you get called to the principal's office, you know, yes, sir, no, sir, I feel like Andy would be ready to argue. Dad, listen. Hold on. You listen to me. I could see it playing out that way. And I would say his view on the Cardinals is the team, whether it's Mike Schilt managing or Mike Matheny managing, don't have a leadoff hitter. It's kind of what a lot of people have observed the last few years. There's a lot of number six hitters. Like, you could hit Wong sixth and feel good about it. You could hit Fowler sixth and feel good about it. You could hit Carpenter sixth. But the rest of the lineup, I'm not sure what the answer is.
How about, too, that all of a sudden at age 62, and he may be only about 3 or 4 years from that he, you know, it's not like he's been working and training and getting a master's degree. All of a sudden, hey, I'm going to make $250,000, $280,000 a year. Is that the greatest thing ever?
And he said it may not quite be that high.
Yeah. Well, maybe not 280, but let's
right,
just say.
Right, but I'm saying.
I've heard it's well over 200.
But I'm saying it's also a nice place to be where you're not even that worried about it. I don't know.
All of a sudden you get a check.
I think baseball's pension is the best of the four major sports. I think I've read that before. I haven't found an exact number, but it's generous.
Long way from getting $7 a day meal money and going to, Captain D's?
Captain D's for the buffet.
Wow.
I'll still do that.
That was the famous Captain D's. The famous Captain D's was our bet with caller Lou about Matt Holliday.
Oh, God.
And it was years ago, but he said, yeah, this guy, he won't hit 20 homers. He won't hit 80 RBI, whatever it was. I remember Matt had called into the show at one point, so he was loosely aware of our topics. And it was in the middle of that summer. He said, hey, Martin, how's Lou's bet looking? And I said, I think we're looking good. He said, we'll be eating some Captain D's real soon.
I'm more of a Long John Silver guy, but yeah. I think, you know, both
I heard
are,
they're going healthier. Are they adding some more fish
look,
that are not deep fried? I'm asking the wrong guy.
Look, and I'm a guy that enjoys Long John Silver.
They're just serving water now. They're not going to serve
I will say, when you walk in there, you don't go, I want a salad and I want a water. I mean, you can just smell that. You can almost see the grease on the walls as like cocoons. It's I love it, but
was that
a
live read? I don't know.
I couldn't imagine it going healthy.
Speaking of food, so last night at 11:30 after the Springfield Sliders game, we're driving in Springfield. I'm with a friend of mine, and there is this drive-through, and I've driven by it probably 12 times this summer, and it says homemade food. And they have fried chicken, shrimp, gyros, burgers, all sorts of fishes. And I begged Monique. I said, Monique, we've got to go in this. And it looks like it's homemade. She says, there's no way you get the health department to give me a letter that says that restaurant's okay, then I'll go. So she was with me last night. I was with a buddy. We went in there about 11 o'clock. I had a gyro. It was spectacular. He had fried shrimp and cocktail. I texted Dom. Hey, Dom, I took a picture of the place. You ought to go to this place. And he goes, I've been driving by it. Is it really good? I said, yeah. What should I have? So she's really ticked
off. Frank goes, no, don't worry. I'll get a box for Dom.
That's right.
Meet you at the hotel.
This is why you travel with the dogs. They never tell you where to eat, right?
Absolutely.
No offense to the lovely Monique, who's probably not listening, but the dogs will never stop you from eating a gyro at midnight.
She's a little cantankerous lately because on the 4th of July, we were at a La Quinta Inn in Terre Haute, Indiana, eating at the Cracker Barrel.
Humblebrag.
And Brooke got invited to Martha's Vineyard and was taking a bike ride by Jackie O's $60 million estate. And Monique says, what's wrong with this?
It's all about a box for Dom.
Yeah, that was not only a humble brag, but showed that you come from old money.
No, she had a friend. Not me. We were at La Quinta with my money.
I tell Frank my Huck Finn adventure, so I'm in the woods of Wisconsin, and Carson's really getting into fishing, which is great, and his mom is really good. The lovely Kim grew up on lakes and ponds and all that with her dad in Southern Illinois, so she's really good at it. And then Carson reels in a bluegill. He said, Dad, do you think we could eat this for dinner? I said, oh, that's a lot of work, you know. So he said, Mom, can we? She said, sure, you just need to take it up. We'll clean it. And I just kind of whispered. I said, I'm not sure it's sanitary, this lake, you know. I'm not sure we want to do that nobody wants to clean a fish, let's be honest. That's why you have Captain D's.
Yeah, Long John Silver's, actually.
All right, let's welcome to the program the one and only Dr. Rick Lehman. Dr. Rick, how are you today, sir?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Very good. Before we get going with serious conversations here, I'm listening to a podcast the other day about John Wayne Bobbitt. And you and I have been discussing reconnecting things with the tendons on the Tommy John surgery and how they can't do it with spinal cord surgery. So you explain to me how in the world this happened, where not only did they reconnect it, but they also made it functional, as some of those movies will attest, which I would not see, but I've heard. How does this happen as we continue our reconnection theme?
Okay, so to reconnect what we're talking about, you have to do two things. You have to reconnect the vessel, so that's the artery and the vein, and you have to reconnect the nerve. Now, that is a peripheral nerve, so as opposed to a spinal cord nerve, which we call preganglionic, which is the spinal cord. Peripheral nerves are called postganglionic, and it's kind of a long story, but the bottom line is you can try to connect nerves that are peripheral. So if you cut a nerve in your wrist, we can connect that nerve, and we've had some success in that working. But in nerves that are in the spinal cord, you can't connect those. Now, the other truth of the matter is you're never going to get 100% of the same nerve function as you're going to get before Mrs. Bobbitt did what she did. And so even though it has been reconnected and it is working at some level, most of the reason it's working is vascular. So what they're doing is they're pumping increased amounts of blood into what we're talking about to make it bigger, as opposed to the nerve working the muscle that makes it bigger. So it doesn't really work as good as you think it works.
I think we buried the lead here. Frank says, I was listening to a podcast about John Wayne Bobbitt.
Well, it was a Bill Simmons podcast, and they branched off to it.
Okay, all right. Well, then that's fair. But yeah. I thought you were going to say John Wayne Gacy, and that seems – that's less disturbing, I would say. Dr. Rick, always from the latest headlines, delving into that, more than a million people agree to storm Area 51 for people not paying attention. And I know the government has sort of reacted to this. What is this movement about?
So, you know, on Facebook, this guy Val from California decided that they wanted to go see aliens. And this was in response to this whole illegal immigrant thing. I don't know how he made the transition. And so he posted he wants to go to Area 51, which we know is kind of where supposedly all the aliens are in New Mexico. And so now he's got a million people that have signed on, and they're going to go run like Japanese people with their chests out and supposedly dodge bullets, because the government is going to shoot at you. if you run and try to infiltrate Area 51. So there's a million people that are going to sign up, that have signed up on Facebook, that want to go on September, I think it's 5th, and they're going to go, or 20th, or someday in September, and they're going to go infiltrate Area 51. And the reason I posted it, we're talking about it, is it's a really bad idea. I mean, the government is going to shoot real bullets at you if you do this. So anyone who's really thinking that this is a good idea, this is a joke, it's funny, but it's not, don't do it.
That seems like good medical advice, yeah. Do you think the guy was spoofing at the beginning and it became a thing? Well, or he was serious and it became too big of a thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the ice bucket challenge. You know, should you really dump ice water on your head and videotape it? Probably not. So it's funny. It's, you know, Facebook-ish. But I think that, you know, so now all the hotels are sold out in New Mexico near this area. All the campsites are sold out. And so people are really going to go there. Now, hopefully they're just going to go there and hang out and, you know, do what they do, smoke weed or something. But I just can't imagine that they're really going to run at a military installation that has aliens in it and think that that's a good plan.
Sounds like Dr. Rick is insinuating this is a ploy by Big Nevada Tourism to sell out all these hotel and campsites.
St. Louis needs it. What can we march on that is get a million people here?
In the term Facebook-ish. I like that.
All right. A lot of Cardinal fans are concerned with a couple of these injuries. Is there more to Yachty's hand tendon strain? Is it a tear? And then what about this situation with Marcelo Zuna, where it looks like he's not going to be back for a while? I mean, he's doing very little.
So Yachty, you know, this has been an ongoing saga, and I think he has a partial re-tear, and I think it's slow to heal, and I think it is. There's an area of concern for a couple of reasons. Hey, he's a little older. Obviously, the thumb is a big part of your component if you're a catcher. And just things don't seem to be progressing like they should be progressing. So I think there is areas of concern, and I think this may at some level bother him the rest of the season until it's addressed at the end of the year. Ozuna's that's a tough situation. We talked about this before, I don't know if you remember, and I said, I just don't know that this guy's going to be okay. And I think this is unfortunately coming to fruition. So, whether we're going to see him back in 4 to 6 weeks or whether he's – I mean, it's hard to say, but this is a very worrisome situation. And he's been on the fence back and forth in terms of health, you know, for a while. So, again, I hope I'm wrong, but I see this as a bad deal.
Hey, Doc, follow-up on the Molina injury. I did hear during the broadcast last night they said that Mozeliak said hand injuries are actually easier – to diagnose in terms of like when they're ready because of the way they can test it with grip and strength tests like that. Is that true? Is that something you've heard over the years too?
Well, I think, you can get more objective evidence, but I also think they're much more prone to be sore. So you think you're a little bit better. And then all of a sudden you get a little bit of torque in this, what's called the ulnar collateral ligament in the thumb. And then the next thing you know, you're sore again. So yeah, I think you have a pretty good idea how it's healing objectively, but holding a bat is very difficult because opposition in your thumb, and these things come back slow. And every time you retweak it, you know, it's sore again, and then you're going to miss more time or miss a start or whatever.
Dr. Rick Lehman joins us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Let's talk a little bit about NFL training camps about to begin. And give me an idea on how this thing has evolved in terms of players showing up in tip-top shape now as opposed to, like, maybe as 20 years ago, how they would get in shape when training camp comes. Give me an idea on that.
Well, so training camp is pretty interesting. I'm sure you've been. You got two groups of people. You got the guys trying to make the team, and then you got the veterans. The veterans hate being there. They got every reason not to be there, and it's a whole different thing. So you got to put them aside. The guys that are position players that are young or a little worried about, you know, their roster spot come to camp literally in the best shape of their career. So they've trained like fiends. They've supplemented. They've done whatever they're going to do. Their 40 times are down. They've worked on their 40 times. So they're going to come into camp the best they're going to be the whole year, because everything else is attrition, you know, breakdown. The guys that are 15, 20 years ago had a whole different philosophy. Their philosophy was, I'm going to rest in the offseason, and I'm going to come into camp, and I'm going to be a little overweight. I'm not really going to have trained much, maybe lift a little bit of weights, but I'm going to get into shape in training camp. And so their game plan was to work their way into shape, and they're going to be in the best shape of their life at the end of training camp. And that is a completely different concept, because all of a sudden, you know, your chances of making a roster spot are a lot less if you're competing against a guy who's just coming in, you know, tore up and ready to go. So the veterans today, again, I still think they come in, you know, the Tom Brady's of the world come into an unbelievable shape. They work like fiends in the off season, which has never been the case back in the day. But, you know, they don't really feel they need all the work, and they don't need to put in the time. They already have all that. But they are going to be in the best shape that they can be in, as opposed to at the end of camp. The problem with that concept is your injury rate goes way up. And if you look at injury rates in NFL training camp, they've consistently gone up every year, probably for the last 8 or 9 years, because guys are going harder. They're coming in at max effort. And, you know, you were seeing more torn ACLs, more ankles, more shoulder injuries because of this change in paradigm, as opposed to coming in and kind of being a little slow, kind of working their way into it, not working that hard.
Dr. Rick Lehman, founder, medical director, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, our weekly visit here on 590 The Fan. Cardinal fans heard the news over the weekend. Bob Gibson dealing with pancreatic cancer. I think he started chemo perhaps yesterday even. He's going to battle it as best he can. Certain cancers, they're all heinous, but certain ones always sound worse. Without knowing the specifics of this case, what's the road ahead?
Well, the road ahead is tough. I mean, pancreatic cancer, the reason it's so bad is it's quote-unquote a silent killer. So it gets pretty far along in the disease process before there's any symptoms. So people that have pancreatic cancer generally don't have symptoms till late stages of the disease, number one. The five-year life expectancy is less than 10%. And so, you know, it's a very, very bad disease to get. Now, you know, he's 80, whatever he is. So what's his life expectancy regardless? Although last time I saw him, he looked pretty good. So, you know, it's very sad. Now, there are some new treatments in California where they're making these T-cell things to kill the cancer, and that's been very successful. Basically taking your T cells or the cells that kill foreign objects, foreign materials, cancers, infection, and using it to fight these infections and, I mean, these cancers. And I would say that's probably the most state-of-the-art treatment. And, you know, they may be doing that in Omaha. I don't know. But that's where I would head if I had pancreatic cancer. It's brand new. It's state-of-the-art. And I think that is your best shot.
Good stuff, Dr. Rick. We'll talk next week. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All righty. There is Dr. Rick Lehman joining us. Speaking of doctors, for all of your eye care needs, see Dr. Michael Jones, Quantum Vision Centers, 855-260-EYES. He is one of the best in the business. He practices complete eye care both sides of the river, 855-260-EYES. Tell them I sent you. Professor at SLU sees patients at several locations in the St. Louis area. When you call him, please tell them that I sent you. Dr. Michael Jones. Dr. Kenny Wallace, when we come back.